Morning. Good morning. Thank you, Carl. Carl, you get an A. Everybody else, I'm going to send a note to their mom. All right. That was me. That was totally fabricated. I said the wrong thing, so I pretended to speak in tongues. Don't judge me. Could somebody grab an offering basket? If you guys are recording, could you just pause it for a second? Actually, you know what? Let it run. So, you guys know we have this missionary from our church. Her name is Kate. We are, but we also, if we want to try to win the award, we're gonna need a little help on social media to pass that around. So, just giving you the heads up. If you'd like the help, you could share when we share it, and or at least vote for us. Unless you don't like our music, then don't bother. It's fine. So I just wanted to let you know that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then I want to share a little bit today about resting like Jesus. So Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you inhabit our worship. And today I pray that you would speak to each and every individual person here, to all of us, about how to rest like you did. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called us not to be a people that are frazzled, not to be a people that are overwhelmed, but to be a people that walk intentionally in the earth. And I just pray, Lord, that you would highlight in each and every life the things that you want to move in, the areas that you're breathing on. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been reading a book called The Normal Christian Life by a man named Watchman Nee. Anybody read that? You know Watchman Nee. So Watchman Nee, it's incredible. It's mind-blowing. It just, my whole paradigm, things that I thought I understood, I'm understanding better. But Watchman Nee, a while ago, I don't have an exact year for you, he's a Chinese man, and he traveled all over the world teaching in Chinese and the book through translators, and the book is actually, they took a bunch of his teachings and slapped them together in a book. So what I want to share with you is right at the end of chapter 6, this jumped out at me. It's a Watchman Nee quote, and it just really stuck in my spirit. So I've been thinking about it for a few weeks. And he says, the trouble about many Christians today is that they have an insufficient idea of what God is asking of them. Glibly, they say, Lord, I'm willing for anything. Do you not know that God is asking for your whole life, for your cherished ideals, for your strong wills, for your precious relationships, for your much-loved work, that they will have to go, that they will have to change? So don't give yourself to God unless you mean it. God will take you seriously, even if you don't mean it seriously. And then he says, there, he's talking about Christians in this state, they're no good for the world because they've gone too far to be of any use to the world. And they're no good for God either because they've not gone far enough for him to use. You're out of gear with the world and you have a controversy with God. This is the tragedy of many Christians. So the first thing I always do is I like to look at my own life. Because it's real easy to hear a message or read something in the Bible and think, oh man, this totally applies to my wife. I hope she reads this someday. But the reality is, when you read something like that, you apply it to you. So if you look at your life, if we look at our lives and the circumstances of our lives, it's like, are we really all in? We talk like we're all in. We act like we're all in. On Sunday morning, we're all in. But what's going on day to day? What are we doing every day? Are we really all in? Because the reality is, if you're like me, I want to be on this adventure with God. I'm the guy that when I was praying last year, I felt like God told me I could have all the super on my natural I wanted. I could be outside of what was happening. And so, like in the natural, we could operate in the spirit the way the Lord's designed us to work. But I don't see that every second or every hour of every day. And there is not a doubt in my heart where I ask the Lord why, but there is a desire in my heart where I ask the Lord how. Does that make sense? So it's not a questioning of God, but it's me trying to align my very life in such a surrendered way that I can see God move. Does that make sense? Okay, so there's another book. So that was The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. You can buy that. You can get that on audio. You can Google The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee, PDF, and you can just get it. Anyway, if you want. You can borrow mine if you'd like to. There's another book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody read it? What's habit number one? Did someone say be proactive?
Yeah.
Yeah, be proactive, that's right. But what we want to talk about today is habit number two. Start with the end in mind. Start with the end in mind. Good job, guys. Start with the end in mind. And we do this all the time. We do this in small ways day to day. Like, you have to accomplish a task. You know what the end looks like. Let's just pick a random task that we all do. It's taking out the trash. Does everybody consciously think about that process? Like, I want the trash out of the kitchen, in the can, in the garage. Step one, open the cabinet. Step two, pull the can out. Take out the bag. We're on step four. We're going to tie the bag. Step five, if you're me, hey, kid, take this out. Step six, put the new bag in or my wife will yell. Step seven, back in the cabinet. So anyway, it's like a 15-step process. Does anyone think it through step by step? Lydia, we love you. Everybody pray for Lydia this week. Call, you know what, when you're taking out the trash, post on the Rock page. The intercessors will go with you. Anyway, we don't typically think about it in a step-by-step process because we know the end is in mind. And the end is new bag in the trash can, trash in the trash can in the garage, right? It's easy when we think short-term. But when we think long-term, it's a little harder to think like, okay, so I'm going to set you guys up for my analogy. This is my visual aid. So everybody can see this ball, all right? So this is a long-term task. This is going to represent a span of years and years and years and years. Actually, I'm just going to put it over here because I sound funny where I was. All right, right there. So this is now, this is today, this is the end of my life, and I want this ball out this door. Everyone's clear what the end is? Ball out the door. So what's happening, and we get this in for some areas of our life, like eating well. All right, earlier this year, my wife started packing me lunch. Pretty awesome, yeah. Packing me lunch every day. And I thought maybe it wasn't going to go so well because I opened the bag the first day. There's some fruit. There's a bag, and it says Doritos. But above the word Doritos, it says organic. And I want to tell you, if it just said chips, there would have been no disappointment in my heart. If it just said organic chips, I'd have been like, oh yeah, these chips, they're chips. But you can't have Doritos without monosodium glutamate. You can't. It's okay. That's a chemical. Maybe some people think you shouldn't eat it. I don't know, Taco Bell uses it, and I have a Taco Bell issue. So I'm looking at these chips, and they would have been fine if they didn't say Doritos. So anyway, after a few weeks of this, I start to realize a pattern because she only packs me lunch Monday through Friday. I work Monday through Saturday. That's because she's packing kids' lunches. So I get some kid food. I get Go-Gurts. You know, you feel a little weird as a grown man eating those, but it's just yogurt in a tube. It's cool. So anyway, I notice this pattern because on Saturday, I'm just left to forage for myself. So I've eaten healthy and organic. She gets this bread. It's some kind of whole wheat potato thing, and it's awesome. But then I get to Saturday, and I was going to do pictures, but I didn't get to it. I took a picture of the lunch she makes me, and there was a Saturday, it was a couple weeks ago, and this is what I could forage. It was 2 packs of Tasty Cakes. Okay, so I've gone from I'm having fruit, baby carrots. I love baby carrots now, raisins, things like that. And I notice in my life, like, Monday through Friday, I'm feeling good. Saturday, I'm dragging a little. I'm just why don't I feel so good? And it's because of what we're eating. And we get it. If we want to be healthy over here at the end of our life, you know, the occasional tasty cake, no big deal. But if your diet is tasty cakes or whatever, you might end up here being the end of your life. So we get this, and we get it with our, like, retirement savings. You know, every couple of weeks, a little bit of money comes out of my paycheck, and the idea is that when I get way over here, it's a pile of money, and I can retire. And I get it, but we don't seem to apply this idea, starting with the end in mind, to other areas of our life. Does that make sense? So I want you guys to take some time this week, and I want you to write down some things you want to see over here. Because if we don't start doing stuff over here, are you guys cool with all this running around? I'm good. I'm good. I get paid for every step I make. It's cool. So you have to do some things over here to see the goals over here. So I wrote down some goals. I was going to share my whole list of goals, but it felt a little personal. So I want to just write that. I'm going to give you some generic goals, and then I'm going to share one that's on my list and talk about it a little bit. But and this seems a little, you know, we're coming out of the Halloween season. It seems a little bit kind of dark to think this way. But I want you to picture a tombstone, not your own tombstone, just a tombstone. And, you know, it says stuff about the people that are in the ground. What's up, Nate? You don't have to apologize. I'm happy you're here. It says stuff about the people who are on the ground. So these are real generic ones that I wrote down. But picture it. Don't put your name on it. That's a little weird. They were on level 3,309 of Candy Crush. You know, if you want that to be your end goal, you got to start here. And I did want to talk about this a little bit, because when I was a kid growing up, I just bought my kids like a retro Nintendo system, and they're playing 8-bit, and they pretend they like it to play with me. But every game had an end. Either you beat the game and it was over, or you couldn't beat the game and you got tired of it. So, I mean, we did play for hours and hours and hours, but there was an end. And games today, especially phone games, there's no end. Did you ever read reviews? I do this. I read the review. Some people give it 5 stars and they say, it's a great time waster. And I think it's funny because we use things like this to distract us from our life and we call it a break. But what it's set up to do is to, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And then you get about here, you're almost, you're at level 2,999 and you drop your phone in the bathtub. And you get to start over. So again, all right, think of your tombstone again. I got another one. Ready? They had 1,213 Facebook friends and 220 followers on Instagram. That's me. Pretty good end of a life goal, right? And if I want it, I got to start now. All right, here's another one. Picture your tombstone. They stayed home from church a few weeks ago to watch the Eagles play horribly in London.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just for the record, Keith was where?
Here.
I had people thought it would be okay because Keith wouldn't be here. But Keith was here. I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on you. Just for a fun story, I was at a different church that day. If their sanctuary holds 1,500 people, there was only 500 people there. So, I mean, some people on their tombstone, they want that to be a priority. No, I'm just kidding. I know I'm stretching, guys. I'm making jokes. All right. Some of you have seen a meme running around Facebook. It says, life is short. Spend all the time you can arguing with strangers about politics. You know, and then it was a few years back, maybe 5-10 years ago, there was the YOLO movement. You only live once. And it was really funny because a lot of people misunderstood that. Because really, in its concept, YOLO, I only live once, so I got to work on things here so I have them out there. It's not the dress rehearsal. It's not the practice for real life. You're in real life right now. So we had a kid on the worship team. Not a kid. He was a young adult. years and years ago, and he was consistently late. And you guys know it's my job to be like, hey, man, you know, we're all relying on you. We can't practice if you're not here. We're not ready. Can you please be on time? And you know, some of you guys have had my pep talk about, like, hey, you know, one thing that's always fun to point out, I point this out to new guys at work. You know, if you're late 10 minutes every day and you work 6 days a week, you just gave up an hour of pay. You know? Yeah. And these guys look at me like, I told a guy that. They never thought he would be on time. He's on time every day now. So anyway, but like with the worship team, we want to practice. We want to be fluid. We want to be in the flow so that we can follow the Holy Spirit and, you know, not suck you guys out of worship every time it falls apart. We want to just be able to go. And so, you know, I gave him the standard pep talk, like, hey, I'm counting on you. I need you to be here. And he just looked at me and was like, YOLO. And I'm like, you got it wrong, man. Anyway, just letting you know, you guys can speculate as to who you think that is. They are not here anymore. So on my paper, I have YOLO, you only live once, so watch all the Netflix you can, right? Because that's a good end of the life goal. So what I'm saying here is I selected some things intentionally because I think, and looking at my own life is where I discovered this, there was things that I was calling restful that actually weren't restful. Things like binge watching Netflix. I mean, yeah, I'm not calling it the one-eyed demon or anything, but like, is what you're doing actually restful? Is it actually re-energizing you? Is it actually helping you unwind? Or is it just distracting you from your reality? All right. Guys ready to move on? All right. There's the ball. Ball's got to get through the door. Without even talking about any goals right now, what happens in life? I'm trying with my whole life to move that ball out that door. So I go to work. I work for 12 hours. It rained on me all day. I get home and one of the kids has ripped the kitchen light fixture out of the ceiling. So I put it back up and I got real creative with that. Brandon would have a heart attack if he saw it. I shouldn't speak that over you. Brandon would have to fix it if he saw it. And there's the ball and I want that ball through that door with my life. So what do I do? Do I do nothing or do I like, oh, I roll back. Is it closer to the door? Do I still have a lot of days to work on it? But the problem is if I don't do anything, then what happens is years and years and years and years and years go by and I'm here and the ball's back there. So here's the magic question. This is the question I ask myself all the time. Because the temptation in my life, for me, it's a constant temptation, is even though, and I can fill in the blanks, I work over 60 hours a week, my kids are challenging, I had to do this, I had to do that. Even though all these things are happening in my life, how can I still? And we subconsciously ask ourselves that question all the time when it's something we really want to do. We do. If I said, hey, guys, we're going out for lobster tonight. It's on the church. We had a really banner offering. Not only did I buy a new car, but I'm taking you all out for lobster. This all would never happen, right? So, well, I'm getting a new car, but not from the church. Anyway, some of you have plans tonight, but some of you would adjust your plans. You'd be like, even though I invited those people to my house to watch the Eagles, how do I get to this lobster dinner? You know, I had this situation with Brandon last weekend. I had all this stuff just in my life unraveling. Brandon's like, hey, you want to go fishing? I'm like, actually, I think I asked him, can we go fishing? And it just got to the point where it was like, I really can't do this. I'm like, even though, how can I? Can you guys say even though? All right, now in your mind, fill in all your stuff that keeps you from doing stuff. How can I? Sorry, you got your own lobster tonight. Anyway, how can I get my own lobster tonight? All right, so let's look at an actual goal. Okay, so you all know what this is, right? It's a Bible. Sorry. And, like, I've read it. But as part of one of the end of the life goals, I'll stand over here. Part of one of my end of the life goals, I want to know and understand it. I don't just want to know what it says or, hey, I've read it. I want to know and understand it. The Bible's like a diamond. Some of you ladies have diamonds. And it's funny with a diamond because it's cut in such a way that when you look at it in different light or in different circumstances, it looks different. It shows you something else. It sparkles differently. And that's really how the Word of God is. What I read before and how it spoke to me when I'm over here and I'm 57 and a half years old and on level 2000 of Candy Crush, it might be something different for that part of my life. And so what I'm saying is if my end of the life goal, my end of life goal is to know and understand this, what do I have to do back here? Do I have to like quit my job and go to Bible college again and tell my kids I can't play because I'm studying Romans and I don't understand it? No, I just have to do a little bit. Stop rolling back. Nah. You guys and your excuses. Even though it rolled back a little, push it again. All right. So a little bit. So, this has been something new for me, and it's not that I'd never studied the Bible before, but I've become more passionate about it. And what's really funny is the thing that I realize the most is if I carve out the time to read it and I go off on my day without taking part of it with me, I totally forget it. So now I do this thing. I write it on a little 3x5 card. Some of you have seen me whip it out during worship to find the verse that I want to talk about. And memorization is good. And I do memorize, but I got this list in my pocket. I'm happy, and I revisit it during the day. Well, how do you do that? You're working all the time. Well, I have a lunch break I'm supposed to take, and a lot of guys I work with, they're on their phone all day long doing whatever they do, and somehow they manage to get their job done. So I'm not doing this when I'm supposed to be working, but I am finding the time to pull that out of my pocket and revisit that verse that bumped out to me in the morning. Look at your own life. Your own lifestyle is different than mine. Some of you guys have commutes. Some of you guys have like just different pockets of time. But if something's important, if moving the ball is going to be important, you're going to find a time. I found a great app. It's an audio Bible. So now I can listen to it. Worst case scenario, when I'm in the car, I turn it on, I listen to it. Does that make sense? But you guys need to determine your own goals. The things that are going to be important to you over here. Because what really happens, and this is what happened, like if I'm here, this is almost 40 years. Life just happened, and sometimes the ball didn't move. And it's okay. I'm not feeling condemned, but I want to be moving that ball. All right. So here's my hypothesis. My kids watch a show, and the guy's like, I have a hypothesis. And he shares it, and they do the whole scientific figuring out if it's right. But we're not going to do that. I have a hypothesis that I found to be true in my own life. It's possible it's true in your life. I shared it a little bit earlier, but it's the things that I was doing to try to rest were not actually restful and kept me from doing the things that would actually energize me. So when I realized that, it's like, where do you go? Honestly, the people that I look up to, they're not resting well. They're burning the candle at both ends, which I'm not opposed to. I like to do that too. But I need to find pockets of places to rest. So the only place I could really take it was Jesus, because I don't want to be confused. Like, there's this culture of rest means doing nothing. And sometimes it is going to be that way. But I don't want my life to be doing nothing. I want my life to be moving these goals along and making an impact on the earth. So I looked at Jesus. So I want you guys, I'm just going to read you this verse. It's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weird, weary, and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm going to read some more. Sorry. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and there you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That was the NIV. In the Passion, it says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Does anybody ever feel that way? I mean, I feel that way. Anybody? I had one hand. Me and five people in the room. Thanks, guys. Weary and carrying a heavy burden. Then come to me. This is Jesus, guys. I will refresh your life. For I am your oasis. Now, I was just talking about this with my wife. I feel like in this season of my life, the Lord called me out. This is personal, guys. This has nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with anything that's happening here. This is just how I feel in this season. I feel like the Lord brought me out into the desert, handed me a shovel, and was like, let's dig a well here. All right, so maybe in my life, it's not an oasis. I'm looking around. I'm seeing a desert. I got some cranky neighbors, not my real neighbors. They seem to be nice people. I just feel like I'm here in the desert. I'm moving sand. The Lord's helping me dig, and we're digging a well where we're at. And that's just the season I'm at. But it's like Jesus is my oasis. So did Jesus come with me into that season? Yeah. So, all right. Simply join your life with mine. And this goes back to what I was talking about in the beginning with what Watchman Nee said. It's like I entered into this arrangement with the Lord. I received salvation, the forgiveness of sins. I brought him into my life, but I think I have all these imaginary dotted lines, like, you really can't have this, you really can't have that. I'm really grateful for that salvation thing. Yes, I really want to help the poor. That's really noble. I'll do that. No, I don't want to give money to them because they already have lots of money. Like, you see, like, you exist, and I exist in this place where it must not have, like, we don't realize that when we gave our life to the Lord, he really, like, here it all is. This is it. Now, it's not that he's going to make me do a bunch of things that I think everybody thinks if they enter into full surrender, they're going to end up in a mud hut in Africa. And that's not really the case. It's God's going to use you where you are. And if your heart unfolds to where you're going to go live in Ethiopia, that's going to be the best thing. Anyway, all right, I got a lot to cover in 10 minutes. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. All right. You guys want to read some more verses? I do. Matthew 14. If you have your Bible, look it up. We're going to be in it for a minute. This is a day in the life of Jesus. This is me just highlighting how Jesus rested. And the first reason we've scratched into it is that he prayed. We're going to get there in a second. So I'm in Matthew 14. Your heading at verse 13 is probably Jesus feeds the multitude or the 4 or 5,000 or whatever it is. And it starts with the words, on hearing this. Okay, well, we need to know what he heard. So we got to back up. So the story right before this is the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. It's a pretty crazy tale. We're not going to tell it right now. You can read it on your own. John the Baptist to Jesus. Who was John the Baptist to Jesus? His cousin. Also, the one that was preparing the way for him. So this is someone that we're going to say, like, he knows better than the average Joe. Now he's Jesus and he knows everybody. I get that. But this is his cousin. And he just dies in a really tragic way. The man that actually issues the order to execute him didn't want to execute him, but had to because he swore an oath. And so on hearing that this happened, Jesus slipped away privately by a boat to be alone. To be what? Alone. So here Jesus has tragic news, and how he wants to rest is to be alone. Now, I'm all for being with other people. I love being with other people. I'm a people person. I love to talk. I love to talk about myself, and I love to listen to you talk about yourself. This is just my life. But Jesus, when he rested, he wanted to be alone. And I think we have this misunderstanding that somehow we're going to be re-energized if we go to a big party when we need to be alone. So I'm going to keep reading, okay? So Jesus got into a boat to slip away, to be alone. But when the crowds discovered that he had sailed away, they emerged from all the nearby towns and followed him on foot. So when Jesus landed, he had a huge crowd waiting for him. Seeing so many people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion toward them. I'm just going to stop there for a second. So, you know, in each and every one of our lives, we've had things happen that are tragic. It may not have been our cousin being beheaded, but they're tragic. And I want to just look at the example of Jesus and highlight it. Jesus is trying to be alone, and an opportunity presents itself where other people have a need. I know my reaction would have been like, I can't do this right now. Not doing this right now. Sorry, guys. Need to be alone. Stuff's going on. I got a million reasons why I should not do the whole ministry thing right now or share Jesus with you or meet your need because my need is so great. But Jesus, what does Jesus do? He's deeply moved with compassion. So, everybody, we talked about it today. We gave them to the Lord as a prophetic act. Each and every person here has stuff going on. Some people, it may just be an infected hangnail. You'll get over it. Some people have more tragic stuff going on. But I really want to approach everyone else in a way to help them with their stuff, not just consistently bring my stuff. Does that make sense? Please share your stuff if you want to. But when we come and meet together, I think we should be motivated with compassion for each other. So what did Jesus do when he had compassion for everybody? I love this. He healed all the sick. How many of the sick? All the sick that were in the crowd. So later that afternoon, the disciples came to Jesus. They said, the disciples, in unison, all 12 of them lined up and said, "It's going to be dark soon, and the people are hungry, but there's nothing to eat here in this desolate place. You should send the crowds away to the nearby villages to buy themselves some food." "They don't need to leave," Jesus responded. "You can give them something to eat." Another way that Jesus rested. He ate. The people looked tired. What do they need? Eat. Eating. Love food. Anyway, just I had a fried chicken analogy earlier I forgot to give. I'll get there. Anyway, but they questioned him. They only had five barley loaves and two fish. So he's eating organic. It's cool. joke. Let me have them, Jesus replied. Then have everyone sit down on the grass. As he took the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up into heaven, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread into pieces. Then he gave it to his disciples, who in turn gave it out to the crowds. You know, little side note, little rabbit trail. You got on your plate 1/12 of five loaves and two fish, and you're walking out to 4,000 or 5,000 people. Who's reading the NIV? What's it say? 5,000 people. 5,000 men. You got 1/12 fish and bread. So it's definitely an act of faith. And it speaks into what we're saying about having compassion. Because you know when you're in a place where you're dealing with your own circumstance, you feel like what's in your hand might not be enough to meet someone else's need. But the reality is, it is. You know? Anyway, moving right along. And everyone ate until they were satisfied, for the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. Then they picked up leftovers, up to 12 baskets full. There were 5,000, there we go, men who were fed, in addition to many women and children. So, you know, this is the day. Jesus is in his circumstance. He wants to be alone. He has compassion. He meets the people's needs. And then he's right back on point. As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and go to the other side of the lake, while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up to the hill to pray. Who did? What did he do? By himself, up the hill. I'm just pointing it out. Thanks, guys. As night fell, he was there praying alone with God. He was doing what?
Praying alone.
Alone with God. So, we won't get into the whole next story because it's awesome too. But, so ways that Jesus rested and how they apply to us. He prayed. Mark 6:31 says, "Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not have a chance to eat. So he said to them," he's talking about the disciples, "come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest." And I feel like in my life, it's more probable that when I start to feel overwhelmed, drained, doing the ministry thing, having my own turmoil of what's going on in my life, that I'm less likely to accept the invitation that says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. But if I don't find that time, then I really have no rest. I could watch all the Netflix I want, Candy Crush it. I wake up the next day still feeling drained. The second way, we already talked about it, Jesus ate. Except for one time when he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. So use a little discernment there. Sometimes instead of eating, there might be something else going on. And then the third way that Jesus rested that you'll see all over the New Testament is he slept. He fell asleep on a cushion in a boat in a storm. Why? Because he was tired. So what I want to say to you guys, if you're feeling run down, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling drained, the actions that we typically take are just going to continue to drain us. But there's three things that Jesus did that we can do that will refresh us. One is he prayed by himself alone with God. The second one is he ate something. So eat something. Eat something. Eat something good. Have a piece of pie, not the whole pie, and go to sleep. An extra hour of sleep can work a wonder, man. This is something I'm realizing. I always consider myself someone that only needs like 5.5 hours of sleep to feel good. Man, when I get 7, whew. All right, so this week, your homework, I know some of you haven't had homework in 40 years. Your homework is to start to identify some things that you want over here at the end of your life, and then start to look at how to move the ball that way just a little bit every day. There's going to be days where you kick the ball, man. But there's days, most days are going to be like, I got to carve out just a little space to move that ball, to move that goal. You know, and you guys don't know, but like I picture my whole life as a sporting event. I do. And there's other players on the field, and sometimes I'm like, yo, move the ball. And they're just like, busy, I'm busy. I'm like, okay, I'll do it myself. I'll move it a little bit. But anyway, so what I want to talk to you about, though, is as you identify those goals, then here comes the fried chicken analogy. You have to KFC. Do you guys remember the father of modern revival, what his name was? Charles Parham. Charles who? Parham. Do you know how we remember that? Because I love chicken parm. I told you guys that joke a long time ago. So this is KFC. Same thing, fried chicken. All right, so when you look at your goal, I'm going to get this right because I wrote it down. All right, so first you need the K. You need to know what you want. No starts with a K. Silent. So you need to know what you want. You need to know what that goal is. So everyone's going to K this week as their homework. Okay? And then the F is you need to figure out what you're actually getting. So if our goal, let's just look at rest. If our goal is rest and we've Netflix, we've candy crushed it, we've eaten a gallon of ice cream, that's two containers, maybe two and a half these days, and we still feel drained, then we figure out what's actually happening. And then C is, anyone guess C? You know? It's chicken. Yeah, right. All right. You change what you need to change. So you know what you want, you figure out what's actually happening, and you change what you need to change. So go ahead and stand up. I'm just going to pray, and then we'll close it out. So, Father, we want to be an intentional people that learns how to properly rest so that we can give out of a place of abundance, not a place of lack. Lord, we thank you that you're moving in each of our lives, that you're speaking to us about our end-of-life goals, that you're speaking to us about the things that you want to do through this house, in the region. Lord, that you're preparing the hearts of people that only we can reach. Lord, we want to be people that are not too tired to step up or too busy to step out, that we'll be moved with compassion for those people and we'll partner with you to see change in this region. So we thank you, Father, for what you're doing among us. We're so grateful for who you are. So now, you know, just as we're praying, I mean, I have my eyes closed. Hopefully everyone else does too. If what I spoke about being in that place of full surrender applies to you, just make it real between you and God. Like, Lord, I really want to be fully surrendered. Just allow the Holy Spirit to highlight areas in your life where you really hold back. Father, we want to be vessels that you can fill up and that can be poured out. So thank you, Father, that you're able to work in every life, that you redeem every life, that no matter what's happened up until now, you move, and that you can redeem every single life and every single action. Lord, we thank you for the things that you're going to do among your people here. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great week. I did have an announcement I forgot to make, and it was this. Blaine, put that up on the screen. If you guys have an announcement and you email Lydia, we're going to throw it up on the screen, and we can be really ordered in our announcements. Wouldn't that be awesome? All right. Have good fellowship.
Wait, the announcement was to let Lydia know you have an announcement.
Yeah, if you have announcements, you...